Here's Andy Udman.
No government has the right to force medication on its people. That's pretty simple. It deprives the individuals of their right to informed consent to medication. A local government is doing to everyone what a doctor can do to no one.
Well, what shocked me the most was there were some dentists from London who showed picture after picture of rotting teeth. And these were teeth from children who live here in London who have, where they have access to fluoridated water. And yet these pictures, you know, were rotting teeth. I mean, how can they sit there and say that fluoride is working when picture after picture after picture of these children were pictures of rotting teeth? It just made absolutely no sense to me that they could sit there and brag about fluoride when, you know, they were showing just the results of fluoridated water from...
This is not only a public health issue for me, it's a personal issue. The last thing that my father did when he went to bed was to take out his dentures. My brother and sister and I, we have our teeth, but we have multiple fillings. And nowadays, it's not unusual for children to be cavity-free on their checkups. That's the success of fluoride. It's safe, it's effective, and we need to continue it.
But the biggest problem with all this is this violation of civil rights. They seem to want to medicate me without my permission and medicate carte blanche.
Oh, boy, is this going to be a fun hour, folks. I am really looking forward to this. I don't want a nice little polite lecture on fluoride. I want an all-out bare-knuckle, drag-em-down debate, which we did not get last night at Centennial Hall. I was there. I want to share my thoughts. In studio this morning, I have Pam Colleen. You know how she feels. And I have a man, and I'm going to throw out this dare. I dare you, if you have an argument on either side, and you think you know better, you call Dr. Paul Conant. He's a big boy, and he's ready to talk to you. He has the answer. He's the guy with the degrees. He's the guy with the book this thick on the topic. He's the guy who has spent the last 16, 20 years on this subject. He's the expert. And yet he comes all the way from his home in New York to London, and he gets 5 minutes. It was insulting. And when he used the shockingly offensive term of junk science, the chairman tried to shut him down and said, let's be more polite. After all, this is the city where the mayor just told the prime minister to get his ass down here. It was a laughable moment. I want to share your thoughts. 643-1290. The lines are open. Pam Colleen, Andy Udman, and Dr. Paul Conant. Hi, Pam. How are you?
Good morning. Yes.
It was a late night.
Very late night. We finished after 1 a.m.
Dr. Conant, I can't believe it. You came all the way to London. You get 5 minutes. You're a guy with a PhD who knows more about this subject than anybody in that whole gathering last night. You get to speak for 5 minutes, and you have to listen for 6 hours.
Well, I was very impressed, actually. I think the citizens did an absolutely fantastic job. You had several hundred people there. I think they articulated the case very well, very disciplined. And if I was the councillor, I would be very disturbed about continuing a practice where several hundred people are better informed on this issue than they are and better informed than the health department on this issue. So I was impressed. I wasn't impressed by the fact that having told everybody that we were only going to get 5 minutes, we start off with 50 minutes of their side. For 50 minutes, we hear from Health Canada, or at least we don't hear from Health Canada. We hear from Peter Cooney. Why on earth Peter Cooney is here from Health Canada to tell us about safety when he's a dentist, not a doctor, and to go through this facade, this pantomime of this Health Canada review, which he handpicked. Peter Cooney, I believe, handpicked the panel of so-called six experts, four of whom were pro-fluoridation
dentists.
Let me
ask you about Peter Cooney. We put a call into Health Canada this morning because I wanted Peter Cooney to go on the show. I'm going to be blunt. I'm a talk show host. I don't necessarily care what the final answer is. I want a good fight along the way that makes for good radio. I mean, that's what talk show hosts do, and hopefully we all learn in the process. Peter Cooney's secretary was rude and said, no, he doesn't want to talk to you. So, hey, they had their chance. Who is Peter Cooney?
He's the so-called Chief Dental Officer of Canada. He wears two hats. He's also a lobbyist, if you like, for the World Dental Federation, which is an industry-funded group, which has been in existence for a very long time, but it's funded by the food industry and the dental products people, the Colgates and Palmolive and so on. He wears two hats. that. See, out in international circles, he is supporting mercury amalgams. He was at an international conference recently where he admitted, I wear two hats. I'm the Chief Dental Officer of Health Canada, but I'm also representing the federal, the World Dental
Federation. Let me bring a quote into that. Pam, help me with the quote from Callie Miller. I laughed out loud when she said something along the lines of, a man not being able to...
tell the truth if his salary is going to be, you know, impaired by telling the truth, essentially, yeah.
Well, that was a great line.
Yeah, always follow the money.
always follow the money.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's the European cuckoo lays its eggs in another bird's nest. And when the little birds hatch, the cuckoos hatch, the first thing they do is to chuck out all the other little birds, and then they take over. That's what's happened with this issue. The dental lobby has taken over the health establishment. So when we hear about the Center of Disease Control, people think of those 16,000 people working night and day to protect the health at the federal level in Atlanta. But as far as fluoridation is concerned, it's only the oral health division, 30 people, whose job is to promote fluoridation. Those are the only people we hear from. So we've got the dental lobby posing as a health organization, as a health body. And similarly with the World Health Organization, we have literally seen doctors standing by and allowing the dentists to run over this issue, to talk about safety. No dentist should be allowed to use the words fluoridation is safe because they have no qualifications about whether fluoride damages the brain.
See, that's where there's some confusion, because people think, okay, we're talking about teeth, we're talking about fluoride, so who are the experts? The dentist. No, we're talking about the human body.
Yeah.
What do dentists know about the human body?
Yeah.
Just about zero. Pam, I want to bring you into this, because when I walked in, I had another meeting I had to go to at 7, and I walked in about 8:30. When I walked in, the first thing I saw on the big screen was bad teeth, really bad teeth, and a dentist at the mic. And I'm thinking, I'm not following the logic here. Here's a dentist showing really bad teeth saying we need to keep fluoride. Did I miss something?
A huge disconnect there, a huge contradiction. I hope the counselors saw that, because here are these dentists saying, basically extolling the benefits of fluoride, and yet they're showing picture after picture after picture of these rotting teeth from children here in London where they are drinking fluoridated water. And Paul, you made a comment earlier. You were laughing about it. I mean,
it was just like an episode of Monty Python. You know, I was at college with John Cleese. I can imagine, you know, here are all these dreadful teeth. John, but you've been fluoridated in London since 1967, and you're showing these dreadful teeth. And yeah, but imagine how worse it would be if there wasn't fluoride in the water.
That's the part I didn't get. And you never get a second chance to make a first impression. I walked in, that was the first thing I saw, with these horrible teeth, and a dentist saying fluoride protects our teeth. It made no sense. Let's go to the line. Roger, your thoughts this morning.
Yeah, I just had a quick question about that point there that you were talking about there with the rotting teeth. Now, on the flip side, couldn't someone say that, well, after being fluoridated for, you know, these number of years since 1967, shouldn't we all have rotting organs as a result of...
Well, over 80% of the population is dying from chronic disease today.
Well, this is the problem, that in Canada, you've done practically no health studies at all in the populations which have been fluoridated. You don't track the levels of fluoride in people's bones. We don't know about that accumulation. We know there's a massive increase in arthritis, which is the first symptom of fluoride's damage to the bone. We know there's a massive increase in hypothyroidism. We know that fluoride lowers thyroid function. And when you get something as subtle as lowering IQ by a few points, unless you do studies, you're not going to see that. And we have this nonsense of Peter Cooney going to Dryden, Ontario, and I was there, April the 1st, 2008. He said, I've walked down your high street today, and I didn't see anybody growing horns, and you've been fluoridated for 40 years. So that gives you some idea of the quality of research on the health effects of fluoridation in Canada. You go down high streets to see if people are growing horns, and if you don't see people growing horns, then obviously fluoridation is safe. I mean, it's absolute nonsense.
Right. Roger, let me jump in. I want to comment on your question. I thought it was an excellent question, and I think it's one that a lot of people are asking. It's, if we've had fluoride all this time, and fluoride isn't safe, why aren't we seeing some serious health effects? And the whole point of what Pam is saying and what Dr. Conrad is saying, we are, but they're not documented.
Okay, that's fair enough. And I'm just curious, like, Is there also other bad stuff in our water? Is the fluoride the least of the evils or the greatest of the evils?
Well, it's the greatest of the evils because we don't have to put it in. We're not putting fluoride in the water to treat the water, to make the water safe to drink. We're using the water supply to deliver medicine. And it's the clumsiest way to deliver medicine that you've invented. Because once you put a medicine in the water, you can't control the dose, you can't control who gets it, and there's no individual supervision. So it's a terrible form of medicine. And we can say it emphatically because we've never done it with any other medicine. We haven't used the public water supply to deliver medicine. That's what makes fluoridation such a bad idea.
Roger, were you at the meeting?
No.
Okay.
But you raised some good points here.
Roger, I appreciate the call. Just before we go to the break, Paul, let me ask you this, and Pam, too, quickly. 6 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, even a computer crashes after a while. It can only hold so much information. Do you think our counselors, first of all, understood everything? And what are they going to retain? Pam, you first.
It's hard to know. They're justifying putting fluoride in our water in order to help the underprivileged here in London. That because the underprivileged can't buy food or good food, good quality food, of course, they're going to have higher rates of tooth decay. And we are in a first world country here. And we have people out there that are starving, that are relying on Kraft dinner.
When we come back, we do have to take a short break. Dr. Paul, I want to ask you this. What did you sense from all those people last night is their key concern? What is it they're worried about if we did take fluoride out of the water? We'll be back with that and your calls in just a moment here in London today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
But the biggest problem with all this is this violation of civil rights. They seem to want to medicate me without my permission and medicate carte blanche.
Pam Colleen, Andy Udman, and Dr. Paul Conant discussing last night's meeting on fluoride at Centennial Hall. Dr. Conant, I want to ask you this. Why not ditch fluoride from the water? That's what a lot of Londoners are wrestling with. And I want to ask you which of these three issues they are most attached to. First of all, is that they just don't believe you. You say fluoride's not effective and it's not safe. So is it just rejecting that argument? Or is it a fear of a sudden outburst of bad teeth if we should remove fluoride from the water? Or another fear, and that is, well, my mother taught me that fluoride was next to godliness, and for me to admit that that's not true would be devastating. Which of those three?
It's difficult to know what makes people do the things that they do and think the way they do. I think in this case, there's too much respect for authority and too little willingness to examine the science for themselves. I don't think that the counselors feel confident enough to actually read the science. And yet that's sad because I wrote a whole book about this with two other scientists. This is easy to read for the layman, and everything is documented. So I think what we're seeing is this transition from a total belief in the local health unit, which in turn is a total belief in Health Canada. I think we've got to the point now where the bureaucrats in these agencies are more interested in protecting a policy, protecting a practice which has gone on for 60 years. I think they're frightened of admitting that they were wrong. I think they are fearful of what it would mean to other public health practices if they lose fluoridation, if they admit it was a huge mistake, which of course it is. If they admit that, then they lose credibility. If they lose credibility, then they're frightened of what it would mean to other public health policies like vaccination and other important things for them. So that's where I think the top of the establishment is coming from. And I think from the council's point of view, they're paying enormous salaries, or someone's paying enormous salaries, between $200,000 and $300,000 a year for the health unit people, the medical officer of health. And it's difficult for them, having put so much money and using these people to tell them what's good and what's bad, to turn around and say, well, we disagree with you, and we're going to stop fluoridation.
Let me bounce one thing over to Pam before we go to the news break at the bottom of the hour. Pam, did you notice? Got a standing ovation last night. I mean, they just said Pam's Colleen. 150, 200 people jumped up and got a big and she's not a rock star. She's just talking about fluoride in the water. So, Pam, what is that sentiment? I know you're a lovely person and they all want to hug you. No, no, but they feel passionately. There's a group called People for Safe Drinking, and they were out in spades last night, very, very passionate. What's their key emotion here?
Well, I think that these are people who understand the connection between nutrition and dental health and the dental health connection with our overall health. And I think that they understand that we need to look towards nutrition as a solution. I mean, a friend of mine, Dr. Mae Wan Ho, wrote a book called Unraveling AIDS. And when she went to Africa to do research for her book, she was amazed when she saw these starving kids in Africa lining up to get their AIDS drugs, but didn't have any food. So they're getting these drugs, but they have no good nutrition. And this is the same analogy I can draw with fluoride here. We just need to give these children good nutrition. And I just didn't hear anything from the, dental experts last night, really emphasizing that we need to take more initiative in that regard.
We are coming down to the bottom of the hour. We want to take a short break, and then we really are welcoming your calls, your challenges. We do not screen the calls. If Peter Cooney decides, Peter Cooney actually came up to you last night, I guess, Paul.
Yeah, he's very pleasant. He's a very charming, charming fellow. He just shouldn't be the spokesman for Health Canada on the safety of fluoridation. He's not qualified to do that. But he's a very nice, charming fellow.
You're very nice and very inept.
Yeah,
and very junk science. What did you mean by junk science when Harold Usher said, oh, don't use such a nasty
term? Well, I think Peter Cooney is an absolute master of junk science. And the way he described the Health Canada's review of fluoridation, it was like a Stalin trial. You know, even though they knew Stalin knew in Soviet Russia they're going to execute people, they still put them through these show trials. And the same with Health Canada. They put you through this tortuous attempt at scientific analysis when science is just not there on the table for them, and they know it. And I can give you chapter and verse on that when we come back. Well, let me give you now. You only have to be able to count to 23, right? When Health Canada came out with its draft review, they reviewed 5 IQ studies. They asked for public comment. I gave it to them. I said there are 23 IQ studies, and I gave references to the other 18 studies. So they wanted public comment, right? I gave it to them. When the final report came out, they still only reviewed the 5 IQ studies. The 18 other studies I sent to them were not reviewed. That isn't science, Andy. That's politics. It's the politics which says this practice has to continue. This practice is more important than the health of the people of London. It's more important than the health of people Ontario or Canada. The bureaucrats have run amok here. You know, bureaucrats should be giving objective science to the decision makers. They shouldn't be spinning. Last night we heard people spinning. We heard Dr. Pollack spinning. We heard Dr. Waskowski spinning. We heard Dr. Peter Cooney. All spinning in the name of protecting water fluoridation, not in the name of protecting the health of the people of your lovely town.
Short news update. When we come back, I want to ask Dr. Paul Connett to just very simply give you a 2-3 minute summary. If you're parents out there, I mean, this is an agonizing debate. I saw parents last night who have small children say, I want the truth. I want the truth here because my kids are drinking this water. I don't want to have to go out and spend $2,000 on some device to get fluoride out of the water. And if it's doing half the things that Dr. Paul Connett says it is doing to my children, I'm torn. So I'm going to ask Dr. Paul Connett to just spell it out very simply, the 10 basic reasons. I looked on the internet. He's got 50 reasons why we need to get. Just give me 10. Make it simple. Make it compelling. And we'll be back with that and your phone calls in just a moment. Right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
This is not only a public health issue for me. It's a personal issue. The last thing that my father did when he went to bed was to take out his dentures. My brother and sister and I, we have our teeth, but we have multiple fillings. And nowadays, it's not unusual for children to be cavity-free on their checkups. That's the success of fluoride. It's safe, it's effective, we need to continue it.
But the biggest problem with all this is the violation of civil rights. They seem to want to medicate me without my permission and medicate carte blanche.
The two sides in the fluoride debate. We saw several hundred people at Centennial Hall last night. A vigorous, no, not a debate. I'm not, personally, I just want to share. I'm not happy with what happened last night. I wanted a full debate. We still have not had a full debate. A full debate would have been Peter Cooney with Paul Connett in the studio this morning. We phoned Peter Cooney's secretary. She was rude and basically said he doesn't want to talk to you. Now, my question for you, Dr. Paul Connett, is this. Okay, we've had what we've had. We've had a public meeting. The process of how this is going to be decided. Are you okay with it? Do you think it will come up with the right answer, whatever the right answer is?
I was very disturbed at the end of the meeting last night when the council voted to send this back to staff. They'd already heard from the staff that evening. The staff had told them that the fluoridation was the best thing since sliced bread. So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. I would have preferred them to have gone to an independent panel, select some people that have not taken a position on fluoridation, a panel of experts to review what they were told by Health Canada and Peter Cooney and others, review what they heard from me and others, perhaps read our book as well, and then give the advice to council. But what we got was a self-fulfilling prophecy. It was almost as if we played around with democracy for 6 hours, and then we just tore it up and went straight back to the fox to guide the hens.
What struck me last night is who is going to be responsible for whatever decision is made. I was talking to someone yesterday. I won't name her because she was nervous about telling me. She said, well, you know, very soon these counselors could be personally responsible for the decision they make on this issue. And if it is proven that little children have a reduced IQ and brittle bones and asthma and other horrible side effects, they will be personally liable. Pam, is that true? Could they be personally liable?
Yes, that came up last night, and the councillors actually presented some questions towards the panel, people like Brian Orshowski and Peter Cooney, and all of these questions have been put forth, and they were told last night, the councillors were told, that answers would come in 4 weeks. So in 4 weeks, we need answers so that, we know that our councillors are protected. Or are they? We don't know 100%, but yes, the question remains, are they liable? And if I were a city councillor, I would not want that on my hands.
You see, the thrust of my 5 minutes was the difference between advice and responsibility. Now, Health Canada, the Ontario Dental Association, all the dentists that spoke last night, local health unit, we're advising the council to go ahead to continue to fluoridate. But they don't have any responsibility. Health Canada doesn't have legal responsibility. The health unit doesn't have legal responsibility. But the councillors, if they say, yes, we will continue fluoridation, they have responsibility. It's their decision. They are putting a known toxic substance in the drinking water. And they know after last night that hundreds of people in London do not want to be medicated in this way. They said, we don't give you our informed consent. Now, if they go ahead and continue to do this, knowing that they're violating people's informed consent, having been told by citizens that they don't want this to happen, I said to them, you better be super confident. You better be super confident in the effectiveness of fluoridation. And the science on that is very weak indeed, and I cited my book. And you also be absolutely super confident that there's no health effects. And how can you be super confident that there's no health effects when we see health effects in India and China, where the people have high natural levels of fluoride in their drinking water?
I was raised, Dr. Paul Connett, you should know, in a strict Christian home, and you respected authority.
Mm-hmm.
And you believed
authority.
And sometimes I still feel guilty when I question people who have a suit and tie on.
Yes.
Andy, how dare you? And yet it is my job, sitting in this particular chair, to do that all the time. Pam has opened my eyes to a number of these issues. Now I'm seeing cold FX, this miracle cure for the cold. And CBC Marketplace did a big piece on how it's all a scam, and it's not even proudly Canadian. It's made in China. Vioxx, thalidomide, and all, I mean, the list of horror stories is endless. So how councillors, our city councillors who heard all this evidence last night, could say, well, you know, I'm just convinced Not having read Dr. Paul Conant's book, I just know that fluoride is right, and I'm going to push it through.
There was a funny moment last night when Dr. Waskowski, she showed a slide with two books on it. One was our book, and the other book was by Fries and Lehr called The Fluoride Wars. And I thought, well, this is good. She's actually got my book there. And then she proceeds to give a quote from Fries and Lehr, which is very pro-fluoridation, doesn't say any more about my book. But there is the, you know, the message to the audience is I've looked carefully at all the science here. The important message is this. There's a difference between science and endorsements. And last night we heard about endorsements, endorsements, endorsements. There's a difference between science and reviews in which the panels for those reviews are hand-picked to deliver a foregone conclusion.
You know what I would love right now is for a dentist, and we've talked about this before, dentists call and say, you know what, I agree with you. I'd love for a dentist to call right now and say, you know what, I'm a darn good dentist, but when it comes to the effect of the fluoride on your kidneys or on your bones, I don't know jack. Let's go to the phones. Paul, go ahead.
Hello?
Paul, go ahead.
Yes. I've had a look at Mr. Conant's book, and I was looking for any evidence of a systematic review that he quotes in his book, because I know that to be the gold standard of looking at scientific literature, and you know what? I couldn't find one, and I'm wondering why.
Well, first of all, then you didn't look very carefully at our book. You should have seen that a lot of our book paid homage to the most thorough and comprehensive review of fluoride stocks.
Hang on, Paul.
Hold on. The most comprehensive review of fluoride toxicity ever done in the United States. It took the panel 3.5 years. For once, it was a balanced panel, and that was the National Research Council. In Canada, you've just completely ignored that.
Paul, if you don't listen, I will cut you off. You let him finish.
You're not listening to the public.
Paul, are you going to listen or not? And then you can respond. Is that a deal or not?
It's a deal.
Okay. Go ahead, Dr. Paul.
We heard about several systematic reviews last night. First of all, we heard about the Fluoridation Forum in Ireland. Well, I happen to know a lot about that because I was flown over by the Irish government to testify in person before that Fluoridation Forum panel. That was the most ridiculous, unscientific review of the literature that's ever been published. That was cited last night by several of the proponents. Secondly, we have the National Health and Medical Research Council report from Australia. And that report dismissed the relevance of the National Research Council report in one sentence, saying the concentrations reviewed are so much higher than the levels in Australia that it wasn't relevant. Absolute nonsense. They don't know the difference in concentration and dose. And then, of course, we got Health Canada. Now, the results of a systematic review are very much hostage to the panel that you choose to review the literature. In this case, Health Canada picked 6 experts. 4 of those experts were dentists. Why on earth you have 4 out of 6 reviewers of an issue like this who are dentists and not trained in toxicologists and in medicine? But anyway, 4 of those dentists were known to be pro-fluoridation. And it's based upon that 6 person's review that they came to the conclusion that fluoridation is safe and effective. So here is your gold standard abused by the fact that pro-fluoridation governments are handpicking the panel of experts to do the review. Notice when the government does not do that, as in the case of the York Review in England and in the case of the National Research Council in the United States, we get a very different response. Incidentally, if you read our book carefully, you would have found that we did actually spend considerable time with the York Review, which is a so-called systematic review.
Dr. Paul, let's give Paul a chance to respond. Go ahead, Paul.
Oh, man, it's hard to get a word in edgewise. I've listened to your propaganda, and I'm not interested in being held hostage because you didn't answer my question. You don't quote one systematic review in your book.
We did.
In terms of the Irish authorities, they analyzed your book based on evidence-based principles, and they refuted every one of your 10 or 50 points that you list
nonsense.
Based on evidence-based
nonsense.
Principles.
Nonsense.
That to me, well, sure you can say nonsense.
It is,
that's
because
fine.
I happened to be there. My book wasn't even published.
You're marketing your book. You're a merchant of fear. And it obviously sells your book. And
wonderful.
So I've made my point.
You certainly have.
I don't buy it.
Yeah.
And
Paul,
that's it.
Paul, thank you for the call. Let's go to Glenn. Glenn, go ahead.
Yes, good morning. First of all, with that previous caller, follow the money. Who was that guy? Who did he work for? That was my question. You know, seems to be a little bit biased. I want to, first of all, say to Pam Colleen and to Dr. Connett, thank you from a father who has children he wants to make safe. Second of all, the question I was going to ask yesterday, but I forgot, was, do we pay to dispose of the waste, or do they pay us to dispose of this waste?
Yes, we are paying to the chemical industry, which is the middleman, for the phosphate fertilizer industry. We are paying for a hazardous waste, which they can't dump into the sea. They can't dump it locally because it's too concentrated. But if someone buys it from them, in the United States at least, it becomes a product, and then we can put it in our drinking water. But if we didn't buy it from them, if we didn't buy this hazardous waste from the phosphate fertilizer industry, it would cost them an arm and a leg to get rid of it as hazardous waste.
Doctor, we have to leave it there. Short break, then we come to Mylan and Chris and Sandra. Every line lit up. Thank you, London. We're finally having the debate we should have had last night, right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
But the biggest problem with all this is the violation of civil rights. They seem to want to medicate me without my permission and medicate carte blanche.
Open debate on fluoride. It's finally happening. Let's go back to the phones. Mylan, go ahead. You'll have to be brief.
Yes, good morning. Andy, when we followed the pesticide debate back in the mid-2000s, we found out halfway through the meeting that the spokesperson for industry or for Health Canada was actually the industry lobbyist as well. So these sort of things are the standard of a deregulated Ontario that followed the United States from the Reagan era. And what you have now are people with lack of credentials. They're not enforcing their credentials from the universities. You don't have reports like Hydro Ontario, like Ontario Hydro had back in the 60s and the 70s with real scientists. The problem you have with the fluoridation is it shouldn't be in the water, and they're not entertaining a proper process, and you should be looking at the process now, because I recorded votes for 7 years and I watched the process, and this is no different than what I watched 15 years ago.
Give me your 10 best seconds on fluoride in the water.
We don't need it. It's unnecessary, and the Nazis used it during the war when they went into some of the occupied countries. They poured it down the wells. So, I mean, there's all kinds of history if you want to go into the dark side of things.
Mylan, appreciate the call. Let's go to Sandra. Sandra, go ahead.
Go ahead. I have a couple of questions that come to my mind.
Okay, quickly.
Who sells fluoride? Who has shares in the fluoride industry? Who wouldn't want to save hundreds of thousands of dollars by not putting this in our water? And wouldn't you rather have a cavity than thyroid disease and arthritis? And what percentage goes down the drain and into the ground?
Home run, Sandra. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. Let's go to Chris Gupta. I remember him last night. You put council on notice last night. Chris, what were you telling them?
Well, I was basically telling them to do their due diligence. And, of course, they just listened to all this stuff as though nothing happened. This is their typical stance for everything, it seems.
But
I wanted to address the issue about the systematic review nonsense that goes on. They have no studies, nothing. So they have these things called epidemiological studies and then meta-analysis, just systematic reviews, and all these expert panels and all this stuff. None of this, all this shows that they're so desperate they don't have any data. So basically they go around looking at existing data and they cherry-pick the stuff.
What do you think is going to be the end result of last night? In other words, the process now, what will council decide to do? They've sent it back to staff who told them fluoride is next to godliness.
I think what they're going to do is delay it as much as possible and hope it goes away, which is their naive thinking. But they don't realize this is not going to go away. The more they delay it, the more educated we get, and the harder we're going to come back to them.
Chris, appreciate it. Appreciated what you did last night. Okay, we have a couple of moments left. Let's summarize it. Pam.
Well, I think Chris is right. I think that they need to do their due diligence. And the questions that were put out last night, we need answers. And we were promised answers within the next 4 weeks. So whatever they do at City Council, they really need to wait for these answers.
One thing, Dr. Paul, that didn't come out to me, and I always try to go, okay, make this so simple. Give me one fact that just pushes me over toward the other side, and that is this. Where they have ditched fluoride, has there been disaster? And yeah. Teeth are falling out of children's mouths, and yeah. Health has gone into the sewer. Has that yeah. happened where they have yeah. ditched fluoride?
Yep, there have been four studies, modern studies, which have shown where they stopped fluoridation in Finland, in East Germany, in Cuba, and in British Columbia. Tooth decay did not go up as they had anticipated. So this notion that you're going to have a disaster as far as tooth decay is concerned is just sheer nonsense. You know, Andy, I leave London today very optimistic. I thought the pros did not produce a convincing job of showing the scientific evidence that it's effective or safe. But I was really impressed with how much homework the citizens have done on this issue. And they got the main points. Let's go through them. Number one, they understand that it works topically. They picked up that even the promoters last night were admitting it was topical. Well, once you admit that fluoride works topically on the teeth, why swallow it? Why expose every tissue in the body to a known toxic substance if it works topically and you can apply it directly to the teeth with fluoridated toothpaste? If you do it that way, if you apply it to the teeth and spit it out, you're not exposing every tissue to a toxic substance, and you're not exposing people that don't want it. And the second point that people understood last night is that it violates their informed consent. And that's a very important realization, and eventually I think the councillors picked up on that too. The third thing that they spotted is that it's very wasteful. Over 99% of the fluoride that you put in the water goes nowhere near the teeth. It's not even ingested. It's washing the car, etc. So it's a very, very wasteful process. But it's not wasteful for the phosphate fertilizer industry because they're getting rid of a hazardous waste. Thank you very much. And one or two people picked up on something else, which I think is very important, and that is how low it is in mother's milk. You know, they make a big point of saying how natural fluoride is, and yet nature's given us a very good indication of what level of fluoride is necessary for a baby, and it's very, very low. The level in mother's milk, 0.004 parts per million. So when you give a baby formula in London, you're giving that baby nearly 200 times more fluoride than nature intended. So do we believe that Peter Cooney knows more about evolution, about Mother Nature, about what the baby needs, or is it these dentists that know more about it? So I think I am very, very impressed how educated the people are, how many people showed up last night, over a couple of hundred. And as this process goes on, more and more people are getting educated. Eventually, it will come to a vote, I think, a referendum, and you will win the referendum here.
Absolutely.
Just as you did in Waterloo, you'll win it here. You may not have the easy route of the courage of Calgary for the council to say, we are not going ahead with this. We do not feel that we are qualified to put medicine in the drinking water. So we're not doing it. We're not going to violate people's informed consent. And thank you very much. We don't want to hear from your health authorities.
Okay, we have to leave it there. Dr. Paul Connett, can't thank you enough for coming to London. Pam, we said from the beginning, we are going to win this battle. We're getting fluoride out of the water.
That's right. We're not going to go away. It's that simple. We're not going to go away. This issue, we're going to fight till the bitter end.
Terrific. 11 o'clock news just around the corner. When we come back, more layoffs at the hospital because they are farming out some of the services. A woman very, very concerned. We'll talk to her after the 11 o'clock news right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.